This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The amount of times I had to go to them like, look, we need one more thing. What? Really? Really? I was like, no, we need Kyle. Kyle's the guy that pulls all of this together. And I don't even know if we're talking about the same boss. He's like, you know what?
Michael Scott?
I got it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got something for Kyle. And it was like, oh, okay. I was like, okay, wait a second.
What is it?
We got something for Kyle, as in I can call him and tell him this.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to think of something for Kyle. He was like, no, get him in the loop and get him in the loop immediately. It's like, oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
Started off kind of rocky.
I got past it. It was supposed to be, I think, August 9.
Yeah.
We were supposed to do a whole big thing.
Oh, yeah.
I was so fired up. I told
everybody. Yep.
And they're like, hey, August 9 was a tough day for me.
Oh, not yet. What do you mean not yet? No, not yet. Okay. I remember they wanted the show to just start.
Yeah.
And not tell anyone.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. So who's going to listen? Like, we're banking on people who listen to D'Lo and Casey to just randomly tune in 2 hours earlier. Not knowing that.
Wait
Kyle
a minute! This isn't
there.
Greeny.
They'd be, hey, if you tuned in for Greeny and got us, you'd be fired up. They're just like, maybe today's the day that they start a show 2 hours before D'Lo and KC. Ah, no, Carlin versus Joe again.
Just no promo, no names. Just Kyle and James on the radio.
They were the whole thing was like we were going to announce, because I thought the KSFM, the D'Lo and KC on KSFM announcement was going to fall flat, because I didn't think anybody really cared.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, let's just announce them both at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way, anyone who doesn't care about
the
KSFM thing, they'll be super hyped for the insiders.
Mm-hmm.
Went into that day with that being the plan. I was told that morning, you can't announce it.
Oof.
So you just want me to announce KSFM?
Oof.
It's not that it's not happening. It's like, no, I do not like this at all.
Oof.
So I very begrudgingly announced and then just kind of hinted. I know you thought another announcement was coming. It's coming. Pause. But, yeah, that was so frustrating.
Well,
so frustrating.
I think Brock Purdy should get.
What else about the, like, so is the 49ers offseason thing the draft?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, man, like. This is where,
like, they had to lose everyone.
There's all these conversations going on that are all different. How the 49ers are choosing to spend money, like shell out cash,
mm-hmm.
is a thing.
Okay.
Because they have shelled out so much cash. They're buying soccer teams. They're doing all this stuff. They have spent so much cash on the football team. So I think they're trying to curtail that a little bit.
Okay.
Not long term, but just for now.
Okay.
They're also trying the salary cap stuff that we talked about, like making sure that they're not in a bad position down the road with all this dead money.
Sure.
The problem with the 49ers and the reason that they might not be very good this year is not
really.
Yeah, they're, like there's a chance, but they, okay. They're okay. Also,
I mean, they weren't very good last year.
So. Right, they were 6-11.
Yeah, that's like, fine. So that's perfect.
That's the
fine.
Other reason I can't. Get, oh my God, Malik Collins! Like, their run defense stunk. Yeah, and you're mad that they're getting. So, anyways,
I was thinking more Charvarius Ward.
Charvarius Ward didn't want to come back.
Oh, that's right. Shoot.
Yeah, he didn't.
Right.
Yeah, he didn't want to come back. The Drake Greenlaw
didn't
want
to come back to not the 49ers. He didn't want to come back to California the after the
right.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Just. Trauma stuff for him.
Tragics. Yeah, yeah.
Which understandable.
Completely understandable. I forgot about
but
that.
But I don't think the Niners are going to play in the $20 million a year market for him anyway.
Yeah.
So, like, Dre Greenlaw, that's a deal I think they should have done. But I also am not sure. Matt Maiocco on the 49ers Talk podcast hinted kind of at, like, Greenlaw might not want to come back. He might kind of want to run the show somewhere. Which, all right, like, you got it. So, the issue is not, for me, how the 49ers have handled the offseason. The issue is that their 2022 draft stinks, save for Brock Purdy.
Okay.
Their 2023 draft was worse. And when you have two drafts in a row and you're going into years 2 and 3 removed from those drafts and you have nothing?
Yeah.
When you lose free agents, which is what happens, it looks a lot more dire when you just don't have good enough players coming in mm-hmm. to back them up. So yeah, to your point, the 2024 draft bore some fruit. You got Malik Mustafa can play. Dominic Pooney can play. Looks like Ricky Pearsall might be able to play. Renardo Green looks like a starter. Isaac Arendo looks like a viable running back. Mm-hmm. It's like, man, that's 5 contributors out of 1 draft. That's huge. Mm-hmm. You need to do it again now.
Yeah, I was going to say you have to hit again.
Yeah, and that's that. Maybe they don't. And if they don't, they're going to have a really hard time winning games this year. But if they get a couple of starters out of this draft, if they get 3 starters out of this draft who can contribute right away, and 1 or 2 of them is on the defensive line, they still have a lot of really good players. And if they're healthy, they're going to be in the mix.
Is their line strong enough to protect Brock Purdy?
Probably. I think so. I'm interested to see what they do at center. But like losing Aaron Banks.
Who's catching the ball?
What do you mean?
Like who's he throwing the ball to?
George Kittle, Juwan Jennings,
still
Ricky
George
Pearsall
Kittle
might be able to play.
Yeah, so Ricky's the one that I'm most interested in. Juwan felt like he had a moment.
Yeah, I think the big deal for Juwan Jennings last year was he's like a bona fide number 2 for me.
Okay,
I think he's an overqualified 3, but a legit like if he's your number 2 receiver, I think you feel okay.
So he has to ascend. Or Ricky Pearsall's. You need
Ricky
to have
Ricky Pearsall's got to be good.
He's got to be the one.
They need Ricky Pearsall to be really good okay. at football.
I got you.
Yeah, like that. He can't just be. Oh yeah, and Ricky Pearsall's here too. He caught 37 passes last year. Like, no, you need Ricky Pearsall to be like a 75-80 catch guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Which I don't know. Their receiver room could be a mess. Brandon Ayuk. No idea what you're getting out of Brandon Ayuk this year.
No idea
when he's
going
to be back. Much yeah. less how he's. How he looks coming off a catastrophic knee injury.
Yeah.
Ricky Pearsall, year 2, we have no idea. I wrote so many articles after Dante Pettis' rookie year about how he was going to be such a big factor in year 2. Stinks. Mm. He doesn't stink. He's still in the NFL. He's but, did not succeed with the 49ers, I should
sure.
say.
Sure.
Is the proper verbiage there. So maybe Ricky Pearsall comes in this year and it's like, oh boy, like another whiffed first round pick.
Oh. I don't think that's the case. I think Ricky Pearsall's solid.
I think I think so too. But I thought again, I thought the same thing about Dante Pettis. I need to see it. Yeah. So it's all a question mark. DeMarcus Robinson, like okay, that's nice as your 4th guy. But if he's all of a sudden like your number 2, ooh.
So you haven't had a single notable free agent signing, like a truly
like one that moves the needle.
Yeah.
Not really.
Is this a team headed towards missing the playoffs this season? And a retool year, I guess?
I think if they...
Maybe.
I think if you can avoid major injury, you're not.
I kind of... It's early. Like, it's way early and all
again,
that
Again, this
still.
Was a 6-11 team last year.
Yeah.
So
plenty of offseason left and all that. But like, I look at the Rams and I think like that's a much better team right now.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, that's the team in the conference... the division?
If you can get the Rams at plus money to win the division right now, you should do it. That's what I would. They seem like the clear favorite to me.
You called them earlier than I was willing to buy into last year.
Yeah, I said.
And I thought, okay, Kyle's right. Like I think they're They're good.
Yeah, they can. Yeah, I didn't pick them to win the division, but I said if you're trying to find like a good value, they were great value. Mm-hmm. Just if you're into the betting stuff. So I think that same thing again this year. But yeah, no, there's definitely a chance to answer Jesse's question. They could for sure miss the playoffs.
Yeah, because you're waiting on Ayuk still. It's like Juwan Jennings is really good, but can he be your number one for the time being and all that? CMC, McCaffrey, it's like, is he healthy now and for how long?
The thing that jumps out to me and the most telling thing to me.
And it feels like the defense has been kind of taking a step back each year a bit too.
This entire conversation and the entire, I don't know what took it. Because I don't mean this like as an insult, but the entire panic about the 49ers or the discourse about the 49ers, the negativity toward them, mm-hmm. all of that is an admission that Brock Purdy isn't that guy. All of that is an admission that we have no idea what the 49ers are going to get out of the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. If Josh Allen was the 49ers quarterback, there would not be this panic of like, oh my God, what are they doing? They should trade Christian McCaffrey. They're done. It's like, no, there's angst about them because they don't have a quarterback that's going to be that rising tide that lifts all boats. At least we don't know that.
That's what I was going to say. Like, you don't
there's,
exactly
there's a
know.
Huge question mark under center still.
Let's get Daniel in here, 916-909. 1320 Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. Daniel, what's up, baby?
Hey, man, how's it going?
Excellent, brother.
Good, good. Hey, I know the Yorks just bought the Rangers. Is that the Scottish team, Scottish mm-hmm. Soccer team? Also, Leeds won yesterday, so they're in first place. They're probably going to get promoted to the Premier League.
Big time.
I pay attention to the Premier League. The Yorks are going to have to spend a lot of money on that team because I know that they're not going to want to go back down. So in order to stay up in the Premier League, they're going to have to spend. And I think this has an effect on what's going to happen with the Niners. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you think.
Great. Yeah, that's part of the cash flow thing. Brock Purdy is probably going to make a lot of cash this year because your cap number and the cash you make is not the same. Those are not equal.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think the 49ers know they're going to have to give Brock Purdy a lot of like a check this year, like a, I don't know, however much the check is going to be, tens of millions of dollars.
Is it a big check? Like a 49ers
yes,
logo in the
1,000%.
Corner.
Yeah, it's huge. And you actually have to...
What is... Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games. Or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take it to the bank. They have a big check bank.
Wells Fargo, could you put this in my account?
So they're going to have to cash him out this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with what the caller just brought up, with all of their different soccer investments that are potentially coming up, the cash flow thing just starts to be something they have to factor in.
Yeah.
So
Kyle Mattson, kind enough to hang out here a little bit with Casey out today. I appreciate you, my friend. Thank you so much. Kyle will be back with us tomorrow at 12:15. He'll be back with the Insiders tomorrow at 10 a.m. And we'll be back. You want to get in on the phone lines? You most certainly can. 916-909-1320. Kings, Warriors, Shea Center tonight. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Cooper Flagg exited Duke's win today with what looked like a pretty nasty ankle injury. We'll dive into that as well. We're thrilled that you're here with us. It's Dealing with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Matt George is going to be with us in the final hour of the show. Excited to talk to our brother from the Locked On Kings Podcast Network and over at ABC 10. A couple of other football things we can dive into as the show progresses. Obviously, lots of quarterback meetings happening around the league. There are some things I just don't understand. We'll talk about it. We'll absolutely talk about it. For those that were around during the commercial break, Kyle said something interesting about Aaron Rodgers in a post on his writing network that it's fascinating. The whole veteran quarterback thing I think is so interesting. So we'll dive into that stuff as the show progresses. We've got Kings basketball tonight. It is the Kings and the Warriors tonight at the Chase Center. And, you know, the Kings, the trade deadline creates so many. We talk about the word hope a lot. We talk about the word. So I can't remember who brought up the word potential the other day. The word potential comes up so much. Like, people love that word. And you know, the whether it's the potential in a player or the potential of a team, it's always, people love it, I think, because it's the unknown. And in the NFL, you're seeing this right now, the NFL free agency period. It's the unknown. Like, there's a hope there. And, you know, not to spoil it, this is what we'll talk about later, like, There's a hope with the Pittsburgh Steelers if they sign Aaron Rodgers. It's like they weren't watching football last year. Or they believe the New York Jets, and there's probably some truth to this, is so dysfunctional that Aaron Rodgers just stunk because he was in New York. That is hope. Trade deadline does the same thing. Hope. Potential. But it can go a different way. The Warriors, like, yo, we can make this move for Jimmy Butler. Or, depending on what y'all believe, and I think we got this story confirmed multiple times over, the Warriors, Kevin Durant, it's trade deadline. It's a season of hope. We could do something right now. We can go get Kevin Durant. We can go get Steph title number 5. And obviously that went the way that it went. Turn their attention to Jimmy Butler. Now, admittedly, that Jimmy Butler deal gets done, not just the trade, but the extension. And it was like, huh. Immediate reaction was, I don't think that moves me. It's good. Interesting for sure. But does the Jimmy Butler deal to Golden State actually move me? And the answer was no, it didn't. So I think that's a bit of an L on my part, because I've gone the absolute other direction right now. At no point this season, at least I don't remember what I was saying at 13-2. I know at 13-2 I thought what they were doing was sustainable. I didn't think they were going to stay winning at that clip. That was crazy. But I absolutely thought they would be a top 4, 5, 6 team at that time. And the fact that they fell all the way back to 500 or perhaps below 500, if I remember correctly, was like, okay, yeah, that's terribly off. But they go and get Jimmy Butler here, and it feels like, all right, they're riding another high. Whatever high they were riding at the beginning of the season, they seem to be riding again right now with Jimmy Butler. And it's like you have so much, you know, known when you're February, you know, 40 some odd games into the season. You make that deal and you look at the output immediately afterwards. This is a team that's what, 10-2 with Jimmy Butler in the lineup, like 13-2 in their last 15? Somewhere around there. Like, guys, this is good. But it 13-2, isn't that what they were to start the season? And you're trying to figure out, is this real? Because we saw this already. Talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers winning 15 straight games on 2 different occasions this year. 15 straight games on 2 different occasions for the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's incredible. The Golden State Warriors are 37-28. Remember, this is a team that at one point that was at 500, under 500. They've gone, Drew Down corrected me, 12-3. And 13-2 this year. We talk about like 25-5 for a team that is 37-28. But what's real? I hate to say it, but this feels like it's real. Because Jimmy's a championship competitor. He's a championship level player. We saw what he did with the Miami Heat on a couple of different occasions. Didn't win a title. We saw what Jimmy did. Jimmy helps Golden State get to the finals. He doesn't have to win the title. Steph can do that. He's got to help Steph, but Steph could do that. The whole reason I buy the Golden State Warriors is Steph Curry.
You think this is just good for half a season, though, or is this beyond this season?
Oh, that's a great question. I feel like that is an entirely different subject. Because I don't think the Warriors win it this clip next year. I don't think they fall off either. But, like, if Golden State, like, I think they're going to finish sixth. Second, I really hope the Kings can put a dent in that by getting a win tonight. Even if they get the win, I still think it's going to be an uphill battle for them getting to six, given their schedule, given the Warriors' schedule, given the way that the Warriors are playing, given the way that the Kings are playing. I think that's an uphill battle. But I could see the Warriors more as a 7-8 next year and not referencing them as a title contender. I know you don't think they're a title contender, do you?
Not yet.
Okay.
I don't. I believe in Jimmy and Steph. But I need to see the others in the playoffs.
I understand.
I can see the vision and all that, but yeah, no, I'm not there yet.
The other side to this, though, is the trade deadline for the Sacramento Kings. Sacramento Kings were in a different position than the Golden State Warriors were. The Golden State Warriors were in an offensive position. We are taking the fight to the league. And the Kings were in a defensive position with their former franchise player. And that operation is a little bit different. The operation that the Sacramento Kings had at the trade deadline is a little bit different than the operation that the Golden State Warriors had at the trade deadline. And sometimes you could feel that. Like you can feel that in the vibe. I mean, look at the Dallas Mavericks and the Los Angeles Lakers. It's a bit unfair of a comp, given the fact that the Dallas lost. The guy that they traded for is played, what, a half for them? And then they've lost so many other components along the way. The vibes were dead in Dallas. Whether Anthony Davis was there or not, the vibes were going to be dead. It was going to take wins for them to get that vibe back, get that energy back. The Lakers, The Lakers started winning games before Luka Doncic stepped on the floor. The Lakers started winning games when, like, they started winning. I think they, if memory serves, they had won a couple before the trade was actually executed. Then they make the trade. It takes time for Luka to get there. It takes time for him to actually take the floor. But they're winning all along the way.
I feel like they were starting to solidify themselves as a top six team right before Luka got there.
100%. 100% agree with you. As an energy shift. The Kings, they're on the defensive, and they're trying to keep their head above water. This season has been a mess for Sacramento. You fire your head coach, you know, at 13-18 or whatever it was at the time, somewhere around there. 31 games in, fire your head coach, bring on Doug Christie. Chatter starts happening about De'Aaron Fox. Ultimately, you trade De'Aaron Fox, and you don't go the rebuild route. You don't go the draft pick route. You don't go the young player route. You go the, and a lot of people would disagree with that, and this remark, and that's fine. You go kind of the lateral route. There's a guy on a big contract that we can get in here who is an equally as talented scorer as De'Aaron Fox, or there isn't much of a fall off with this player we want to go acquire for De'Aaron Fox. And you bring in Zach LaVine. And now you're kind of in prove-it mode. And you come out, and I guess you play reasonably well. Like, I don't, and this is a thing that I've asked myself like a couple of times, and I know we said after the Spurs game, like maybe you just kind of get, you know, the De'Aaron Fox part of the conversation is over. But it's when you look at the season in its entirety, you know, De'Aaron's got to be a part of this. He played a lot of games with Sacramento. But the thing I just wonder is, how different would the Sacramento Kings be on March 13th if De'Aaron Fox was here? Now, the component to that that's probably the most important is De'Aaron Fox is here, but so is Jake LaRavia, and so is Jonas Valanciunas. Is anything different? Are the Kings better? Are they worse? And the fascinating thing about De'Aaron Fox, as highly as I thought of him over the years and at moments over the years, is I think the team's exactly the same. I mean, and when I say exactly the same is probably a stretch. I'll rephrase it. I think the team is the same. Give me the team is the same plus or minus one win. I don't think they're that different if De'Aaron Fox is still in uniform.
Do you think it makes a difference that you're getting what are the production that Zach LaVine would be giving you, but maybe from the point guard spot? Something that they kind of struggle with right now, the lack of having one there?
No, I don't. Only because, I mean, again, the important factor in this is the Valanciunas signing and the Valanciunas trade and the LaRavia trade.
Yeah.
So you bring those guys in with De'Aaron here and the rest of that group. I wonder,
because we've, like, Chatty House talked so many times about, like, DeMar and Zach LaVine getting their shots at the end. It's just kind of, like, just getting theirs rather than kind of moving the ball. Like,
but DeMar would still be here.
But, like,
and De'Aaron would just be LaVine.
But De'Aaron brings a kind of different play style where you can kind of break the defense down and maybe he's getting Keegan a shot or something like that. Just what a point guard would normally bring you, you know?
No, I hear you. You're right. But in the final few minutes, isn't De'Aaron taking that shot anyways? Because that's what everybody bitches and complains about. Is the clutch time shots. And I understand why everybody complains about it. Because we've seen them go bad. We saw them go bad in the Pelicans game before the All-Star break. Like, I get why people are frustrated with that. I get it. But I feel like we'd be saying that different positions and maybe the distributing component is the biggest difference between Zach LaVine and De'Aaron Fox. But other than that, I feel like they're certainly not identical, but I feel they're really, really similar.
Yeah, I think ultimately you're right. It's only adding probably about a couple more wins.
Yeah, I don't. Again, plus or minus, I said one, maybe plus or minus two is a little bit fair. If we're going Prize Picks, plus or minus 1.5.
I think, like, I'm talking about yesterday, I think the biggest difference here is Doug Christie. Like, if you make all the moves, De'Aaron's gone, Zach LaVine's here and all that, but Mike Brown is coaching, like, I don't think they're a very good team.
Yeah, I mean, there's the, I mean, who knows where this team is if they had who knows where this team is if they had stuck with Mike Brown? Who knows where this team is if they had never signed the extension? Maybe Del Christie becomes the coach in the summer, or somebody else becomes the coach in the summer. I'm not really sure.
Maybe you trade Darren Fox earlier too, then.
Possibly. You trade him in the offseason when Mike's not back. This could be true. It could be true. I think I'd love to know the story behind the Mike Brown. I mean, I certainly know components to the story of Mike Brown and the contract extension last offseason. But I'd love the entire story about why, like, who was pushing for this to get done? Who was pushing for this not to get done? We know De'Aaron was pushing for it to get done. We're talking about who in the front office and beyond was pushing for this to get done. And who was pushing for it not to get done? Because a lot's been written about that already. You're starting to hear just random names pop up.
I wonder if they went into this season with the thought, yeah, if this goes south with Mike early on, we're just going to fire him. Like, if you already gave him the extension with the intention of, yeah, we could fire him, though, this year. Like, you already had that idea in your mind.
That's the thing with being the Sacramento Kings head coach. That's always a conversation. Like, that's probably always something that's being discussed is, well, okay, we don't really like him. De'Aaron is, you know, kind of put a gun to our head, so we'll re-sign him. And if it stinks, De'Aaron might be on board for us firing him because the team is bad. He's going to miss out on All-NBA. He's going to miss out on the max contract. We'd be doing him a favor, getting him a better coach. But I want to know who said, all right, fine, let's sign him. I want to know who said, no, let's not. Again, a lot is being written about this. And I think it's all garbage.
What parts?
You could kiss my ass if you expect me to believe Jeremy Lamb was making decisions with this team. Now, I get it. That was a bit on this show. It's funny because we're wrestling fans. What's the tie-in? Triple H was a wrestler who married Vince McMahon's daughter, Stephanie, and guess who runs the goddamn wrestling side of the company? It's funny. It's a joke. I never once believed Jeremy Lamb was making decisions. The idea that Jeremy Lamb was making decisions for the Sacramento Kings is absolutely absurd. The idea that he had input on what the Sacramento Kings are doing is stupid. And if there is even a grain of truth to that, this organization is screwed as long as Vivek Ranadive is the owner. If there is a grain of salt truth to what Sam and Anthony wrote, we, as a media contingent and a fan base, are covering and cheering for a trash-ass basketball team while Vivek Ranadive is the owner. To be clear, I do not believe for a second that that is the case. Absolutely not. Jeremy Lamb walks in and starts making decisions. Man, please stop it.
It feels like it's just low-hanging fruit.
There's always a boogeyman associated with Sacramento. Always. And now I guess the boogeyman is Anjali. It's like, all right, cool, dude. All right, whatever. It's now she's it. Because it was Matina at first. Matina was the boogeyman.
She had some name drops.
2025. Boogie woman. So Matina's the boogie woman. I'm sorry, did we get bored with that? And now Anjali is around too much, so now Anjali is the boogie woman. All right. Got it. There's always a shadowy figure lurking over this organization. I think Sam and Anthony even wrote about that. First it was Vlade, then it was Joe Dumars. Matina's always around. God, that's got to be her fault.
Well, it feels like in the article, too, like the people who, I guess, are concerned about Jeremy Lamb is just kind of like, hey, it's the king, so who knows? It's not even like it is. It's like,
you could, like, it's all, like, if you said the Kings used a Ouija board to sign there, is that what those things are called?
Where
you push it? If you
don't play Ouija board, by the way.
I do not. Yeah, I do. It's not my bag. But if the Athletic, the New York Times wrote, You know the Sacramento Kings signed DeMar DeRozan because a Ouija board told them to? Who wouldn't believe it? It'd be on the sidebar, and pardon the interruption. It'd make SportsCenter. Everyone would believe it. With the Sacramento Kings, you can literally say anything. And I don't even know how we got to this point.
It's just an ongoing story with the Kings, I guess.
It's never ending. I mean, I have questions about who wanted Zach LaVine. I mean, think about Zach LaVine, the basketball player. Like the skill set. Think about what he's really good at. Think about his tendencies on the floor. Think about his scouting report, if you will. And ask yourself, with the players that Monty McNair, or with the players that Monty McNair and Wes Wilcox, because, you know, we're the only team in the league with two general managers, Monty McNair and Wes Wilcox have acquired over the years. Does Zach LaVine fit that mold? Genuinely asking. It's not asking where I'm going to make like a definitive slap the table segment at the end. I'm asking.
I think so.
Zach LaVine fits that mold?
Yeah, Kyle Kuzma did, no?
Kyle Kuzma.
Not the same player, but just kind of along the lines of, like, Kyle Kuzma, I don't think he's like this defensive guy. He's more, I think he's an offensive type player and all that. Like, that's where his bag is. I don't think.
He's definitely more of an offensive player than
a prototype, I guess, is what it would be. Not the exact same, but I think he's along the lines.
Let's get Leezy in here. He's been on hold for a minute. 916-909-1320. Leezy, what's happening, baby?
Yo, yo, yo. What's up, D-Lo? What's popping, man?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, I just want to follow up on your question. You were asking, do you think the team would have been better if Fox was here with his current roster or even with Mike Brown still here? I don't think the team would be better just based on vibes. It was kind of known. Fox, you know, he's kind of had a foot out the door. And also with Mike Brown, like the second they fired him after that first loss to the Lakers, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, the team went on like a 7-game winning streak. So based on vibes alone, I don't know if the team would be better. I was a Mike Brown guy. I thought he was a good coach, but it definitely seemed like he lost the locker room. And as far as Fox, he's a great playmaker, and that's definitely what the Kings need right now. But if you look at his numbers with San Antonio, besides last night, he's still playing through that injury with his pinky, and he's still, or whatever part of his hand, and he's still not really putting up those big numbers. So yeah. I personally don't think the team would have been better just based on vibes and Fox's injury.
No, I'm with you, Leezy. I think the team, and I think it's about the same. You know, and that's just such a different contrast. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that, because, you know, if you wanted to go I don't think the Kings were ever getting Stephon Castle, but if they were able to land a player or two from San Antonio, if they were negotiating exclusively with San Antonio and didn't have the idea of going to grab Zach LaVine in this process, and you're getting draft picks and all of this, like you're probably going in a different direction, right? And in that scenario, you're probably putting some dirt at this point. You're probably putting a little bit of dirt on, and who knows, because you've got Dallas, you got Phoenix, you got all these other things. You might be putting dirt on this season. And if you're putting dirt on this season on March 13th, you might be putting dirt on Doug Christie's coaching career. That's the other component of this. You're starting, and you go acquire the draft picks. You're starting the process of truly breaking this down. Because now you've messed up DeMar's time here. So you have to move on from DeMar, and I'm sure DeMar will be happy to tell you this offseason, you need to move on from me. What would Domas want? I'm not sure. There's already rumors about what Domas wants, and I'm going to hold off on talking about Domantas Sabonis right now, because this is all speculation. Domas wants clarity. Like, all right. All right, bro. You want clarity? Hang tight. Because if Domas wants clarity and he doesn't like what Sacramento says, okay, we'll talk. That's a tough report to put out there, especially with people who know what the hell went on. But I'm not going to turn on Domas. I love Domas, and I want to see him back. I'm excited. I assume he's back in the lineup tonight, and I want to see that. But they went the Zach LaVine direction. And so while the Golden State Warriors go acquire Jimmy Butler, and they're looking, and it was a gamble for sure, but you're looking to elevate yourself. That's what they were able to do. They have elevated themselves. And they're a win tonight, probably away from being a certified playoff team. Again, I say that, meaning a top six team. Again, I say that because I don't buy the Minnesota Timberwolves. I know the Minnesota Timberwolves are still very much in this conversation. I don't buy it. Yeah, they could be a bad team. So can the Golden State Warriors. I'm measuring everything against the Sacramento Kings. The Warriors versus the Kings, the Timberwolves versus the Kings, the Clippers versus the Kings. That's it. Timberwolves versus the Warriors? Please. No. I don't buy it. I don't buy Minnesota. You ain't going to get me to get in on that one. The Clippers? Stop. Stop it. It's not even a discussion, in my opinion. It's not even a discussion. So the Kings move that lateral direction, and that's the stay afloat. Stay afloat, keep fighting, with Doug Christie being our main catalyst. And Doug's done a hell of a job. Doug has earned a position as a head coach in this league. I really hope it's with Sacramento. If it's not, whatever, man, that's another King screw up. Doug has earned a spot to be the coach for to be a coach in the NBA. Again, like I said, I hope it's Sacramento. He deserves that. But Doug has shown he's a head coach. He's shown he X's, O's, basketball, the game, managing schedules, all of that, whatever. He's shown he can get guys to play for him. He's shown that a team that was done was rejuvenated with him at the helm. And if Sacramento don't want to give him a shot, someone will. If he needs to sell his home out here in Placer County, well, you can call Johnny Jennings, because Johnny Jennings and the Made for More Realty team, they can sell his house. And no hassle. You can get at least 3 guaranteed cash offers in 72 hours. Robert listed his home with Johnny Jennings and Made for More Realty in Roseville. His house sold in days. Full price, cash, as is offer. If you've ever sold your house, you know about the inspections and the repairs and the contingencies or all of that. Full price, cash, as is. Johnny Jennings and the Made for More Realty team get it done 27% faster. They will sell your home 27% faster than other homes on the market. They will sell your home for an average 3% higher than other homes on the market. They're voted the number one team in Roseville the past 3 years. Ask about their Fix It Before You List It program with no upfront cost to you. Expect more, get more with Johnny Jennings at Made for More Realty, California, DRE, number 01982171. Just Google Made for More Realty today and get more for your home. It is the Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors tonight. We've got more basketball to talk about. We've got Kings to talk about. We've got some NFL stuff to talk about. Steelo and KC here on ESPN 1320. Barrett says, it's tough to listen to D'Lo narrate this show and read up in the chat. It's like watching two shows at once. Yeah, when I'm solo, I have to keep my eyes on the chat. I love the chatty house. I love all of y'all. I can't. It's distracting. Y'all got your own show going on in there. Let's get Titus in here, though. Hit up the Elk Grove Kia talk line. Obviously, Casey's out ill today, so you want to be a part of the show, you could be a co-host. Matt George will be my co-host coming up at about 3:15, of course, the host of the Locked On Kings podcast, and our man over at ABC 10, he'll be with us again coming up at about 3:15. Warriors, Kings tonight at the Chase Center in San Francisco. Titus, what's going on, baby?
Man, what's up with my boy?
Yes, sir. I'm all good, baby. Appreciate you.
Yeah, this 100% of Sacramento. You feel me?
Yes, sir.
I see the other half. He disappeared. But, nah, look, this is my thing. Now, we already know the narrative. Don't nobody that's a superstar or, you know, like a good player, they never want to come play for Sac. So thanks, Fox, for going and leaving and then keeping the narrative going. You get what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Like, we celebrating this man. We got C-Webb, Bibby, Jackson. I got Scott Pollard to hit him. I don't care about the playoff drought and that little thing. You didn't do nothing. Yeah, 8 years. You ain't do nothing. You feel me? Then you quit on us at the end. We got to quit giving this man all this airplay. You feel me? Let's see what he do over there in the Spurs. He ain't going to do nothing over there. You wanted to go play with Wimby. All cool. You had it. You had it. Man, we had, you had a three-headed monster. All they had to do was figure it out. You feel me? We went from the coaching. That, I knew it. I knew Mike Brown wasn't the right type of coach for us because we didn't have no. He don't coach defense like that. We are offensive team.
Yeah, I hear you, Titus. I wish I missed on Mike. I don't know what I don't know. Man, it just went bad with Mike. Did we miss on quick?
Did we miss on Mike, or was it just? Him in the front office never saw eye to eye.
But I don't know. Maybe. But that's.
Like I
that's,
always say, how many
but
times.
But that's really problematic because if they didn't see eye to eye, who hired him?
Well, that's the question.
Like, that's
there.
The front office's hire. Or that hire was made under this front office.
Yeah, because there were so many times, like, over the few years where he was coaching, was like, yeah, like, well, seems like Mike Brown wants this for the roster or whatever, but the Kings front office is trying to go this way and all that. Like, it's kind of out there for us.
Yeah, it was. I don't know. I think the thing that I'll always be frustrated with Mike Brown as the Kings coach is, I thought and think Mike is a really good coach there, but there was clearly a Mike couldn't connect with these guys. It appears at least we thought the relationship, the very animated relationship that he had with Malik was just like that. It was just animated. It was just two brothers who will tell each other how they feel. And I don't think that was the case. I think we all took it a certain way because
maybe a little realer than we thought.
Yes. Yeah. I think it was a little more real than we thought. And look, I know De'Aaron. You know, his whole thing was like, I told everybody, if y'all move on from Mike, like, you can move me. He told anyone who would listen that. Me, Matt, Dave, anyone who would listen, he told them that. I also know he had some things to say about Mike. And I also know that internally he had some things to say about Mike. And I know that there were a lot of people around the organization saving text messages in case De'Aaron popped off a little bit too much about what went on here in Sacramento. He didn't. His story has been consistent. It's never been over the top. I don't think it's ever really truly been inflammatory. I know he said some things that Kings fans didn't like, and that's perfectly fine. But he's never popped off too much. And I know that there were multiple people in the organization who were like, hey, he can go on a media tour if he wants to, but we got receipts. And that all kind of it died. De'Aaron went to San Antonio. He's doing his thing, whatever that is. And San Antonio is just kind of sputtering to the end of the season. They're clearly looking at next year with Wimby and De'Aaron together and whatever happens for them in this draft and this upcoming offseason and how many free agents might be under the idea of playing with a guy like Wimby, you know, for the next handful of years, maybe taking him into his prime. Into San Antonio's first years as a championship contender with this group. There might be a lot of guys that feel like that. But I don't think we have to be that down on De'Aaron. I think we need to be real about some of the things we thought. Like I thought De'Aaron was ascending to superstardom after the Warriors series, and he didn't. You know, he came out and he was white hot the next year. It wasn't really resulting in wins, but it was like, hey, he's good. I take that back. It wasn't resulting in the amount of wins that we were hoping for. But then it fell off. And that's kind of where De'Aaron has been since then. It kind of fell off, which is why the Zach LaVine acquisition was, it was fine. We said this in the moment. It was a lateral move. Now, you can question what the move was for the future. That's perfectly fine. If you're down on this team next year, if you're down on this team in 2 years, that's perfectly fine. But this year, even when Kenny and I got into the discussion about, which I, 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 I think sometimes my man gets worked up living on Twitter, but he did you want to be Charlotte or Utah? Or do you want to be Charlotte or Sacramento or Utah or Sacramento? You know, because I think the Kings played them in consecutive games. Who would you rather be? And it's like, I don't think that's really applicable here. Because this Kings team, the one we're going to watch tonight in San Francisco, they can make the playoffs. They could like I said this to Colin James earlier. Give me eight. Give me seven or eight. And I'll take the Kings winning one game to get to the playoffs. I'll take that. But anyone who has an issue beyond this season, I'm fine with that. I'm perfectly fine with that. Especially that you're already wondering who's going to want out. Who's you know, what's DeMar going to think about all of this? Domas going to think about all this? And again, if DeMar got something to say about the direction of the Sacramento Kings, if Domas got something to say about the Sacramento Kings, it's cool. We will address it then. No need to address it now because none of that's happened. But this Kings team's got to perform well, and in my opinion, it's got to start tonight. They got to play well tonight. You want any shot at the sixth seed, you've got to beat the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, it's a must-win tonight if you're still thinking about that.
It's a must-win for the sixth. And given the way that the Timberwolves are playing, and we went over their schedule, if even if the MO is just beating bad teams, they're in great shape. Because they got a lot of bad teams ahead that are probably gonna get worse as the season moves along. Or as the season comes to a conclusion, because they're gonna start looking like I think our guy Keith Pompey tweeted, I don't know if you can remember this, Jesse. Philly right now has the fifth worst record in the league. Their pick has to fall within the top six to keep it. Does that sound right?
It might be top eight, but it's one of those. Yeah, it's one of those.
The point is, Philly needs to be bad. There was something about Paul George earlier. Paul George is seeking medical. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Watch this magic medical advice come back that says, Paul George, don't step on the floor again this next
year. Podcast is back, baby. Let's get back.
Launch that pod, baby. Launch that pod. They have to keep that pick. You're going to see that with New Orleans. You're going to see that with Utah. You're going to see that with these bad teams where it's like, well, we're here. We're out of the conversation. I wonder if we're going to see it with San Antonio. Like, I've speculated that De'Aaron's going to shut it down. I mean, there were people speculating that the second Wemby shut it down. We know De'Aaron needs surgery. This isn't a...
I feel like San Antonio's at a point where, like, you know you're not making a run at the play.
They're
too far back. And I don't see the benefit of running De'Aaron out there with his injury on his hand. I don't see the benefit what you gain from that rather than, okay, so shut him down, get the surgery, we'll lose a few games and our pick gets better.
Yeah. Yeah, I maybe it's just De'Aaron's competitiveness. Maybe that's what it is. De'Aaron liked being out there on the floor. I'm not sure. But you're right. They're 5 games back from Dallas. We're less than 20 games left in the season. We know De'Aaron's getting surgery. We know he has to have surgery.
And we know what San Antonio is. They're not a team good enough to make a run, I don't think.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And they're now, you could be worse than Portland. You want to make sure you're worse than a team like Chicago. It's probably not going to get much worse than that for San Antonio.
Yeah, because the bottom of the East after the play-in is just horrible.
Oh, it's brutal. That's why Philadelphia, I'm confident, it's like, they just shut it down in this. And that's why... You know, that's why I think Kings get a win tonight. They remain in that conversation for six. I think the six is more distant than the seven. It's a difference of a game, but it feels very far away given the way that the Warriors are playing.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here.
If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.